So I'm starting to think that the only reason people listen to this podcast is for the intro music. I don't even think y'all like me. I think it's just the intro music. Those are the only comments I ever get about the podcast, is that the intro music is great. In the last episode, thank you for making the intro music longer. That's my favorite part. And I'm just like, yes, but also, you know, the interview and helpful information. So I think in the next episode, like, I'm just going to start doing 20 minutes of intro music and then like a 10 minute interview or something. But welcome to the show, to everyone who joins for me, or for the, you know, the people that I interview. This is the Standout Job Seeker podcast presented by JobScan. In this podcast, you get real life insights from real life job seekers, recruiters, career experts. I like to do a blend of everything because I think it's good to hear the full picture. You can get advice from career experts based on what they've done to help job seekers. You can get advice from recruiters based on how they hire job seekers. And you can get advice from job seekers on what they actually, or what they did that actually worked. So beyond the advice, here is a thing I did that worked. So you get all of that with this show. If you like that, subscribe or follow wherever you are. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. In this episode, I'm going to try something a little different because we're still starting out. I'm still trying to get a feel for what y'all want to hear in this show. And so in this episode, we're going to do job search hacks, tips and tricks, just small, simple things that you can do today, tonight, and tomorrow that will make your job search easier, faster, and most importantly, more effective. So we're going to go through that. So I hope that you like my voice because it's going to be me. But I've got several job search hacks here. I've got 17 that I'm going to share with you, going through resume, LinkedIn, and so on. And just some quick tips. So let's jump right in, and I'll start sharing some of these hacks with you. By the way, I feel compelled to comment on the quality of my voice because I know it's a little off. I had a cold like 3 weeks ago, and you know, it's 2024, so nothing goes well, and I still have congestion. So we'll get through it. I'm totally fine, and I'm happy that I can talk to y'all about some of these job search hacks. So let's start first with resume hacks. Here's the first one. Use Bing AI to discover quantifiable achievements. Let me elaborate on that. One of the best pieces of advice that we can give you about writing your resume is to not just cite or list your responsibilities in your current job or previous jobs, but to list achievements. Use measurable results when showing what you did in that role. And the reason for that is that it shows your skill level. It shows how good you are at that job. For example, you know, I'm in marketing, and so I could say like, yeah, I published all this content or I created this strategy. But there are a lot of people who can do that. How does the recruiter know that I'm actually good at that? That's what they want. They don't just want someone who can do the work. They want to know, how good are you at doing those things? How much traffic did you bring in, or revenue, or how did you grow the audience? And so listing quantifiable achievements, measurable results, that's a way that you can show the recruiter like, yes, I know how to do this, but also this is how good I am at it. But you may have a job where you're like, I don't really think that there's any quantifiable achievements that I could list. I just don't have that kind of job. Well, it's true. It might be difficult to find those things. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say, well, you can find it. But it can be difficult to try to find some measurable results from your role. So what you can do is go to use Bing's AI chat. And all you have to do is tell it, I want to list quantifiable achievements on my resume. I have a job that I don't think has quantifiable achievements. Tell it what your job is, and then ask for advice on how to quantify your achievements. It doesn't have to be the perfect prompt. Don't worry about going, you know, having a course on how to craft the perfect prompt, just talk to it conversationally. Just tell it, here's the prompt that I put in. I've been told to quantify my achievements on my resume, but I have a job that doesn't really have quantifiable achievements. I'm a bartender. How can I still apply this advice? Okay, just something simple like that. And it will give you advice on using measurable results, but tailored to the job that you have. Here are some examples it gave. Sales increases. If you've upsold drinks or contributed to higher sales, remember I told it I was a bartender, mention that. So for example, played a key role in driving a $4,000 increase in sales per month. Or customer satisfaction. You could say consistently received 95% positive feedback. Or maybe service volume. Maybe you're like, I don't know what my revenue contribution was, but service volume. So you could mention the number of customers that you served during busy hours. And so that is a way to show like, yes, I did this work, like I'm a bartender, but it quantifies it. Like I am able to serve this many people, you know, during peak times or so on. Or training. If you've trained other bartenders in this situation, quantify it. Trained over 25 new bartenders or helped to coach a someone on your team, like say you reached supervisor or manager level, helped to coach a team member to a promotion or a certain number of team members to a promotion. If you received, this is another piece of advice that it gave, awards and recognition. So if you had, you competed in a competition or if you got employee of the month or something, those can be used to not just show the work that you did, but how good you were at it. And so using Bing Chat like that, it will help you to find ways that you can quantify your achievements, even though it might not be obvious to you at first sight. So a good tip there on how to find ways to quantify your achievements. Here's the second tip. Create different resume versions so that tailoring your resume doesn't take as much time. We all know that tailoring our resume is important. I mean, JobScan was built on that fact that you need to be able to tailor your resume to what the recruiter for that company is looking for. Because the fact is that not every role is exactly the same at every single company. I mean, I'm in marketing, and so I, you know, when I was looking for content marketing manager jobs, the roles were not the same, even though the job title was the same. What one company calls content marketing, another company doesn't. I can't explain why, but it's just a fact. And so I would need to tailor my resume to what each company was looking for. Now, that can take time. Using tools like JobScan makes it a lot faster, of course. That's why we built these tools. But another good place to start is instead of just having one base resume that you tailor for each company, have maybe two or three base resumes that you can then just make micro tweaks to. So let me give you an example of how I applied this. When I was looking for a job, there were some jobs that I would apply for that were heavy on content creation. There were some jobs that I applied for that were heavy on strategy and having more of a strategic role. There were some jobs that I applied for that were heavy on a specific type of content creation. So maybe for them, content marketing was a lot of videos. And so they needed someone who had experience with that. So even though I was looking for a content marketing job, I had three different base resumes. One of them was a purely strategic resume. Another one focused more heavily on my content creation experience. And another one focused more heavily on my video creation experience or my experience with growing audience through video content. So I had those three base resumes. And then that meant when I went to apply for a job, I didn't have to make huge tweaks. I could just take one of those base resumes and make little tweaks to it, depending on, you know, which category that role fit into. So that saved me a lot of time. Now, you know, going back to JobScan, I can tell you, like, we actually have this ideology built into our tools. You can set base resumes. If you're using Power Edit, you can create base resumes so that whenever you're scanning a job description, you don't just like upload a new resume every time and you're just uploading your base resume. You can have your base resumes right there in the scanner and then say like, okay, I'm applying for this job that's like heavy on strategy. let me tailor my resume that's heavy on strategy. So that ideology is built into JobScan, but it's just a good practice overall to have different versions of your resume so that tailoring doesn't take as much time. Now, here's a third tip, and this is something that I don't hear a lot of people talking about, but this is a fact. On your resume, when you're tailoring it and you're citing specific skills or keywords, keyword frequency matters. Now, I don't know if you know that. I don't know if anyone's ever told you that, but it's true. Keyword frequency matters. And we know this because we've actually tested several of the major applicant tracking systems out there. That's one reason why we can give so much advice on how to optimize your resume for an ATS, because we've actually tested them. We're not just saying what someone else said or what some, you know, person or hiring manager told us. We've tested these ATSs ourselves, and so we know how they function. And one thing that we did whenever we tested these is we took multiple resumes, and we had some that used the keyword or the skill a certain number of times, and then we took another resume and added that skill more times, and so on and so on. And we found that consistently across the board, the resume that contained a keyword multiple times showed up first on the list whenever the recruiter searched for that keyword. It showed up first in those search results compared to the resumes that only cited it one time or just a few times. So the keyword frequency made a difference whenever the recruiter did a search for that keyword. And a keyword can be a skill too. It's just any kind of word. So keyword frequency matters. That's one reason why in JobScan, we tell you how many times a keyword was listed on the job description and how many times it's listed on your resume. So if you have a particular skill that you are strong at, like you want to be known for this skill or you want to show up in those search results, cite it multiple times. Do this naturally, you know, don't do keyword stuffing and all of that. We all know that doesn't work. But when you talk about that skill, cite it multiple times because it will help you to show up higher in the search results whenever a recruiter is searching for resumes with that keyword in the ATS. Next up, let's go back to an AI tool here. Actually, we're going to go back to Bing Chat. So again, you can Google Bing Chat or go to bing.com. But this tip is to use Bing to give you ideas for certifications you can add to your resume. Upskilling has become very important in the past couple of years because skills-based hiring has become more important in the past couple of years. Companies are recognizing that you don't necessarily need a degree in order to be qualified for a role. And, you know, that's good news for job seekers because maybe you're in a position where you can't go back to college to get a degree to put on your resume. But there are possibly certifications you can get that maybe take 6 months to earn, maybe a couple of months to earn, or maybe a year, or maybe it's a free certification that you can do in a few days. There are a lot of options out there like that. But how do you find them? So you can do a Google search, that works too, but you can go to Bing Chat and just ask it, give me a list of certifications I can earn for specific job title. So I can ask it, give me a list of certifications I can earn for the role of content marketing manager. And it will search the entire internet and find certifications that you can earn. And some of them might even be free. And the great thing about using Bing Chat is it will actually link to the page where it got that information. So you can just click in right away and start taking that certification. Now, FYI, we actually have an article on the JobScan blog that has a list of several certifications, free certifications actually. So if you go to the JobScan blog and just search for certifications, you'll find that article and there's a lot of suggestions in there. But you can also use like an AI chatbot to find that list. So that's an easy way to find ways to upskill, maybe even free options of things you can put on your resume that won't require a lot of time or money. And that's going to help you to stand out whenever you put in your application for a job. Okay, now these next few tips are features within JobScan. However, they're totally free. So like there's really no reason to not do this because it's going to help you out a lot. The first one is JobScan's Resume Builder. I don't know if you know this, but JobScan's Resume Builder is free, like 100% free. There's a lot of quote unquote free resume builders out there on the market. However, I've tested a lot of them and I found that it's free to build a resume, but whenever you have to download it, they charge you to download it. So it's like not really free. I don't know how they get away with that, but JobScan's Resume Builder is 100% free to build and download your resume. So to me, it's a no-brainer. Like if you need a resume, use JobScan's Resume Builder. It's totally free. Our templates are ATS friendly. I know you're going to get in there and you're going to see these templates and they're really simple and you're like, oh, but those don't look cool or pretty. An ATS friendly resume is not pretty. It's professional, it's simple, and it's legible. And that's what you want. You want the recruiter to read your resume, not comment on the colors. So all of the resume templates in our resume builder are totally free. Highly recommend it. It's simple. And you can download it as a PDF. Now, another free feature that I think is a hack for job seekers, we talk about ATSs a lot and doing ATS optimization. However, we know that not all ATSs function the same way. Again, we know that because we've tested a lot of them. And so you might want to know, like, well, this company that I'm applying to, what ATS do they use? And how does that ATS function? Like, do I need to make any specific changes based on that ATS? Well, you can find out using JobScan's resume scanner. And our resume scanner is, we have a paid version, but we also have a free version. So if you're on free, you can use this hack. So scan in, use the scanner, you can add your resume and the job description, specifically the URL of where that job is listed. And that's going to be from the company site. So not just like LinkedIn or Indeed, but go to the company site and get the URL where that job opening is posted, put it in to the scanner. And then our system will analyze that page and we can detect what ATS that company uses. And so our system will tell you what ATS they use. And if there are any changes you need to make to your resume based on how that ATS functions, because some of them can understand plurals and some of them can't, you know, like they have little quirks like that. So use that. If you're looking at the resume scan match report, this also is in Power Edit too, but if you're on the free version, you're going to be taken to the match report. In the searchability section, there's an ATS tip thing. It's like the first thing, you'll see it right there. And go in there and you'll be able to see. And it's a free way to find out what ATS a company uses, which to me feels like a hack. So definitely check that out. Okay, now let's move on to some LinkedIn hacks. You've got your resume all ready to go. You've optimized it. But don't miss out on LinkedIn and how you can use that in your job search too. Here are a few tips, a few hacks that you can use in LinkedIn to speed up your job search. So first, This next hack is actually an answer to a question that I see a lot. The question is, when I optimize my LinkedIn profile, how do I know what job to optimize my profile for? And it's a valid question. When, like, you know to tailor and optimize your resume for each job you apply for, but you don't have a different LinkedIn profile for each job. So how do you know which job to tailor it for? Well, the answer here is to take a big picture look at all of the kinds of jobs that you're applying for. Look at least three job descriptions, maybe even more, and optimize your LinkedIn profile for that big picture look. So look at some of the similar skills that like all of them list, or similar requirements that all of them list. Look at your experience and take a big picture look and try to fit kind of a conglomerate of all of the jobs that you're going to apply for. Now, a hack here would be to use our LinkedIn optimization tool, because that's what the tool does. It takes this big picture look and tells you how to optimize your resume. So I would recommend that, but you can also do this manually. If you just look at all the jobs that you're applying for, take a big picture look, list all of the common skills, all the common requirements, and that's how you optimize your LinkedIn profile for the multiple jobs that you're going to apply for. Now, speaking of skills and citing them on your LinkedIn profile, this is very, very important. So don't miss out on this. Again, LinkedIn can be a valuable asset in your job search. More and more recruiters use LinkedIn not just to look at candidates once they've applied, but they also use LinkedIn to source candidates who haven't even applied for a job. So they'll be looking at it to evaluate you, but you could also get job offers or, you know, offers to interview just based on your LinkedIn profile. But the key feature here is the skills, because LinkedIn has a skills match feature. And what this means is that whenever a recruiter is in the recruiter side of LinkedIn, they have a whole other side, and they're looking at candidates or they're trying to source candidates, there is a line there on each person's profile that says how many skills that person matches on the job description that the recruiter entered, okay? And so let's say they entered like 10 skills. They're like, these are the skills that I need people to have. And they have the list of all of the candidates that LinkedIn found for them. There's a line there that says, this person matches 8 out of 10 required skills. This person matches 1 out of 10 required skills. And so right there in a snapshot, the recruiter can see, do you have all of the skills that I'm looking for? They don't even have to go into your profile and look at it. They just have a line right there. So make sure that you add those skills to your LinkedIn profile, because you don't want it to say this person has 1 of the 10 required skills. You want to say like this person has 9 or all of them or however many it is that they listed. You might have those skills and maybe you just happen to not list it. So definitely find the common skills that show up, you know, more than once in the jobs that you're applying for and list those on your LinkedIn profile. It will do you a lot of good. It will actually make a difference because it'll show the recruiter that you match a certain number of skills that they're looking for. Next hack. This is another feature for recruiters that job seekers need to be aware of. While they're in that list of candidates, I talked about how they can do a search and LinkedIn will give them a list of candidates that it thinks are, you know, a good match for their job. There's another line in there. So there's a skills match line. There's another line called likelihood of interest. And so LinkedIn will tell the recruiter, it'll show them a little badge there saying this person has a high likelihood of interest. That means that that's telling the recruiter that this person is more likely to respond to your messages. That's what they mean. So if they message you, if they reach out to you, if they tell you about the job, you are more likely to respond to apply for that job, which is important to recruiters because they don't want to waste their time on people who aren't going to respond. They have a quota of how many people they need to reach out to or how many people they need to hire. And so they don't want to waste their time on people who aren't going to respond. So you want to make sure you have that badge that you have a high likelihood of interest. How do you do that? Well, LinkedIn documentation explains how they determine if someone has a high likelihood of interest. And it references activity on your LinkedIn account. So for example, how many in-mail messages do you respond to? Or what's your rate of response to LinkedIn messages? They also look at if you're following the company or if you've gone to that company's LinkedIn page and signed up for job alerts. They also look at if you have the open to work feature turned on for your profile. So make sure that you do all of those things. Respond to messages, even if you're not interested. Just respond to them so that LinkedIn knows that you're active and you have a high likelihood of interest. Turn on the open to work feature. And remember, you can set this to kind of a private mode so that it will only show that badge to recruiters. It won't be obvious whenever your boss or anyone from your company looks at your profile. They won't see that badge. You have an option to only show it to recruiters. So turn on that feature. By doing those things, you'll get this highlight on the recruiter search showing that you have a high likelihood of interest, which means they're more likely to reach out to you. Now, let's say you've done all of this, you've optimized your LinkedIn profile and your resume, and you've applied for a job. Here's one last hack you can use LinkedIn for. After you apply for the job, you want to reach out to somebody. You know, this is one of the problems nowadays with applying for a job is that it's just this black hole and you don't know where your application goes. So if you want to reach out to someone, how do you know which person to reach out to? Well, you can use LinkedIn to find the correct person. All you have to do is go to that company's LinkedIn page, their company page, go to the People tab, and then you'll see a search bar. And you can search for the person by their job title. So you go to the company page, go to the People tab, and search for recruiter. You'll find all of the recruiters at that company. And so now you know, oh, okay, these are the people I can reach out to. Or maybe you know the job title of the person that you would probably report to. So like, for example, I'm a content marketing manager. I know that I'm probably going to report to some kind of head or director, you know, various job titles. So I can search for like head of marketing or director of marketing. And I can find that person that's hiring for this role. And I can just reach out to them directly and tell them I put in my application, maybe even send them my resume right there in the message. So that's a really easy way to find out who to reach out to and to be able to reach out to them. You can send a message on LinkedIn. You might not know their email address, but you can send them a message and still make a personal connection with someone. So nice little tip there to be able to make that personal connection and then actually talk to someone after you've put in your application. Okay, so speaking of job applications, let's go into some hacks and some tricks for job applications and making that entire process easier and faster and more effective. Okay, so here's the first tip. Did you know that time matters when you apply for a job? The time that you apply for the job matters. And we know this because, again, we tested ATSs. And one of the tests that we ran was we applied for a job at different times, and then we tested, did the resume that was submitted more recently show up higher in the search results? Okay, so like let's say it's Tuesday and I have an application I applied on Tuesday morning and I have an application that I put in on Saturday and it's now Tuesday afternoon. So does the one that was applied just a few hours ago, does it show up first? Does the one on Saturday show up first? Does it make any difference at all? Well, when we tested it, we found that the recency mattered. Sometimes in some of the ATSs, the resume that was the application that was put in most recently is the one that showed up in the search results. Now, there's other variables. You know, we talked about frequency of keywords. So there's some variables in there, but, you know, in a vacuum, all things being equal, the recency mattered. So how can you use this in your job search? Well, most recruiters, they start their week possibly on Monday or Tuesday with this process of looking at the applications that they got. So try to apply for a job on Monday or Tuesday, a time that's going to be closest to the time that a recruiter is looking for applicants and going through their list of applicants. Now, don't go down the rabbit hole too much. This isn't going to be a make or break. The important thing is to just apply for jobs. There are a lot of variables that go into play here. But that's a little hack that might make a difference. Put in your application Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday when you know that the recruiter is going to be looking, because the recency can matter, especially if you're getting down to in the hundreds or thousands of applications. They might not have time to look at all of those, and so the recency matters. So apply for jobs possibly Monday and Tuesday. The next hack, you know, a lot of times when you're looking for a job, you might be out of work and money is tight. And so free resources really help out. That's why we make a lot of our tools available for free. We have free content on the JobScan website that'll help you. But there are other ways that you can get free resources. Did you know that colleges and universities have alumni programs where they offer career services to their alumni? And this is true even if you graduated from that college several years ago. I've heard from people that they graduated even up to 10 years ago and they still qualify for those alumni benefits. And in a college's career services, they will offer things like resume writing or help with job applications or just help getting placement. Placement rates are really important to colleges. That's one of their selling points is their placement rate. And so they'll give you help to get interviews and to get a job. I know this because JobScan partners with a lot of colleges and universities, and they use JobScan in their career services department. So if you went to college even several years ago, or if you just graduated, or if you're in college right now, contact the career services department. They might be able to offer you some free help and free resources in your job search. Next up, now these next two are JobScan features that are available for free to everyone. The next tool is one that I don't know if a lot of people know about. It's a career change tool on our website, and it's actually really cool. So if you just go to jobscan.co/career-change, that tool will help you to find a career that you're a good fit for. So let's say you want to make a career transition. You want to get out of the market that you're currently in, and you want to make a change to another career, but you're not really sure what you're a good fit for. Like, what kind of role would your skills translate into? Well, with this tool, all you have to do is upload your resume. It will scan it and read it. And then based on your skills, it'll tell you, these are other careers that you are a good fit for based on the skills that you have. It'll even give you a list of current job openings for that role, which is really nice too. But it's helpful to even just see like, oh, okay, these are jobs that I could go into based on my skills. So check out that tool, jobscan.co/career-change. Super easy, free, and it'll help you to find a role that you're a good match for so you don't waste a lot of time applying for jobs that maybe your skills don't translate very well into. Now, the last hack here for the job application stage of your job search is one that we just launched, actually, I think this week, actually. It's called Jobs. Very simple, I know, classic name. And it is exactly what it sounds like. It is lists of jobs. Now, I know that might sound like, well, I couldn't get that anywhere. But the benefit and the way that this is a hack is because it's so well integrated into JobScan that it really speeds up the process. So applying for a job is applying for a job. No matter where you go, that's not unique. However, on JobScan, when you go to your dashboard, we have job feeds there. So you can search by job title or keyword and then by location, and it shows you the jobs. Once you find a job that you want to apply for, it's a one click to go from that job listing into the optimization part of Power Edit. So you find a job, like, I want to apply for this. You click the optimization button. You're right into Power Edit. You can optimize your resume and then apply for the job and you're done. You don't have to have 50 tabs open anymore. You can just do it all from one platform. Also, when you apply for a job, it's a one click to save it to your job tracker, which is another free tool. So it's all of these things that you're going to be doing already, applying for jobs, looking for jobs, optimizing your resume, except now you can do it all in one place. And that's a free tool. It's available to everyone. And you'll see it in your dashboard now. We just released it this week. So a little hack there to make your job search easier, you know, easier to keep it organized. Okay, so we're up to the last section, the last part, which is the interview stage. You've optimized your resume and LinkedIn profile, you applied for jobs, and you got an interview. Congratulations. So here are a couple of hacks, a couple of tricks that you can use to make the interview process more effective. So the first tip, the first trick, I actually got this from Rob Henderson, who was the first person that I interviewed on this podcast. And he said to take interviews even if you aren't interested in the job. Why? Why would you do that? Well, to get practice. I'm sure you've noticed this whenever you're going through the interview process. Interviewing is a skill. And the more interviews you do, you get used to it. You kind of understand what the person is looking for and what questions come up most often. And you get your answers down a little more clearly and you're able to express yourself more clearly. And so practicing the job interviews is a really good way to get better at it, to express yourself better, and therefore get a job. And so try to take interviews, even if you're not interested in that job, it'll be good practice. That way, when a job comes up that you are really interested in, you'll have that practice and you'll do a much better job with that interview, and you increase your chances of getting the job. So definitely an important tip there. Now, the next hack here, for the next trick for when you're interviewing, is to take the opportunity at the end of the interview to ask the person straight out if they think you're a good fit or if there are any weaknesses or concerns that they have. Getting feedback after applying for a job is impossible. They will not give feedback. All they're going to tell you is, we decided to go on to other candidates and thank you for applying. You get the same canned response every time. Well, instead of waiting until after the interview and not getting feedback, just ask them outright in the interview, do you think I'm a good fit for this role? Are there any concerns that you have? And the benefit of doing that is, one, you get feedback, and so maybe you can work on that feedback, but you can also address those concerns. So maybe a concern that they had was a misunderstanding, or maybe it was because it was something that you didn't get a chance to talk about. And so now you can address that concern, you can make clarifications, you can explain to them more of your experience and how it relates to that concern that they had. It gives you a chance to clear all of that up while you're there. I actually had this happen with a person that I was interviewing. She asked this question, and I told her some of the concerns that I had, and she cleared them right up. It was actually just a misunderstanding. She was like, oh, actually, you know, and then explained herself, and she ended up getting the job. And so definitely a good tip here, you know, have questions to ask at the end, and then one of them is just asking for feedback and if they have any concerns. Even if you don't get the role, it'll still be good feedback that you can act on. So there you have it. Those are all 17 hacks, tips, and tricks that you can start using today, tonight, and tomorrow in your job search to make it easier and faster. I hope that this episode was helpful. I hope that my congested voice did not annoy you too much. And let me know if you enjoyed this format or if you want to have more interviews of successful job seekers or recruiters. Whenever you leave a review in Apple Podcasts, you can also leave a comment. So in that comment, let me know what kind of episode you prefer out of the few that we've had so far. If you have a question that you want answered in the episode or in a future episode, leave it there in your review. That's an easy way for me to see what y'all want to hear about in this episode or in this podcast. And it's also a good way for me to see if y'all are liking the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it and hope that it was helpful. And I will see you next week in our next episode. Bye, everyone. Enjoy the outro music. I know that's what you're all here for anyways. Bye.